some deodorant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
How's it going, Ben? How are you?
I'm okay. I've been better. I don't want to sound alarmist, but there's like a 90% chance I have scarlet fever.
Wait.
Yeah.
Scarlet fever?
Yeah.
That's like what the boy in the Velveteen Rabbit had, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a 19th century thing.
Okay.
But rumor has it is back, and
what rumor?
It's all over the internet. They're saying the Victorian diseases are coming back. Victorian
sicknesses are coming back. Or just scarlet fever?
I mean, I stopped when I got to the symptoms that applied to me, but I'm thinking that a great variety of them. I don't know about it. Like, I don't know how far back they go. Like, I don't know if we have to fear. I mean, like bubonic and stuff like that. Like, it still exists.
But
you know?
It exists right, in rats.
Yeah.
Like, I just went to the Grand Canyon, and first of all, the Grand Canyon is littered with warnings about how you might die at the Grand Canyon. Like, I could do a whole episode about Grand Canyon deaths because I researched a lot about it.
I insist we do.
But one sign that was very prominent was that the squirrels at the Grand Canyon carry bubonic plague because they can be bitten by fleas that have bubonic plague. So the reason you don't feed a squirrel at the Grand Canyon is because you could contract bubonic plague.
Right.
So I buy it.
Yeah, no. There is evidence that scarlet fever has returned. Now, are they localizing it to London specifically? Yes. But if there's anything that the internet has taught us, it's that the world has gotten much smaller,
it's smaller
in that regard.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you were in London and then you encountered me, or hey, maybe there's a flea in London that bit a squirrel that then came over on a ship.
Or, you know, just a person could have ridden on an airplane and given you scarlet fever.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Londoners in LA. We live in a major city.
What
are the symptoms of scarlet fever? Why do you think you have it?
So the reason that I think I have it is that I developed some symptoms related to my tongue. Specifically, I was having some weird tongue pain.
Tongue pain?
Yeah, like when I would eat something that was either maybe a little acidic, or if I would eat something that was spicy, I would feel a sharp pain on the top of my tongue.
Sharp pain?
Yeah.
So not just like normal, like oh, it feels sour or hot?
No, like someone had I was going to say stab me in the tongue, but not really that. More like someone had taken the blade and scraped off the top of my tongue.
Ooh.
It really, really hurt.
Did you just scratch? Because it feels like you're describing what happened to me every time I went to the movies and ate a whole box of Sour Patch Kids as a kid.
I think you probably had scarlet fever.
You have not eaten anything that would make your tongue raw.
There was nothing that I could think of would suggest that that I was having a response similar to Sour Patch Kids. It really hurt a lot. So then I went and I looked in the mirror and I inspected my tongue and I had all of these weird red dots all over my tongue.
Do you still have them?
Stick
out your tongue.
I don't think so.
Because
I don't have the pain
them.
Any longer.
Oh, okay. I don't really see them, but I'm sitting across the table.
Yeah. I mean, I just assume that I've learned to live with scarlet fever.
Yeah.
So I've been going through that quite a bit.
Wait, but just tell me how you leapt from bumps on your tongue to scarlet fever.
The internet. I went to the internet and I said, and I took a picture of my tongue and I brought it to the internet and I typed in the symptoms and the first thing that came up on my favorite website, WebMD, was scarlet fever.
So red bumps on your tongue is a scarlet fever symptom.
Yeah.
And what are the other symptoms?
Of scarlet fever?
Yeah.
The red bumps, they tend to spread. So it's a very good thing that I don't have them all over my face and body.
Yeah.
But if I did, yeah, that's...
Do they start in your tongue typically and spread to your body?
I don't think necessarily, but they got to start somewhere. And I think the tongue is as good a place as any.
So you basically could have had any disease. You could have had any disease that causes a rash.
No, I mean, Scarlet Fever is the one that came up, so I'm going to go with Scarlet Fever. Yeah, I guess it's possible. It's also, I mean, all right, I'll be a reasonable adult. It's possible I was having an allergic reaction to something that I ate and nothing more than that, but I don't think that's the case, and I'm certainly not going to, I'm not going to put all my eggs in the basket of allergies.
Yeah.
I mean, if I
most
Scarlet
of your
Fever,
bags are already in the basket of allergies, let's be honest.
No, it's true. And so there isn't a lot of space there. it's, you know, as we both know, I have a doctor that does not listen to my concerns.
No.
And so I'm sort of forced to take matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to tell you that I have Scarlet Fever. Now, do I have Scarlet Fever? Yes, 100%. But could someone, like, say, I don't know, Dr. Laura argue otherwise?
Yeah,
yeah, and we'd probably listen to her because she's a doctor.
Yeah.
But I think you know as well as anyone, much like I do, that no one knows your body like you.
It's scary. Yeah. I mean, I had, like, I was just, like, recently, like, I've noticed at the gym I'll, like, get, like, a little rash on my face. Sometimes if I, like, you know, if it's really hot, you know, or I, like, exercise a lot. And when I first saw that, I was very alarmed. Like, just seeing some topical reaction that's not normally on your body, like, my mind leapt immediately to having some sort of, like, an allergic reaction or some crazy illness. Like, it's very scary to see something on your body that wasn't there before.
Definitely. Like, on your surface skin.
Yeah.
Like, those to me, like, that's when I suddenly become – that's when I, like, suddenly become aware that, like, there are viruses that eat your flesh, you know? Like, it's just – And I just, like, I mean, it sounds almost jokey, but, like, that just sounds to me to be the worst way to possibly go, to eat your own self.
Yeah,
like,
to be covered in, like, invisible gremlins that are eating your body.
Yeah, that's, like,
the
worst thing that could happen would be invisible gremlins
eating
your
body.
From within.
Well, I hope you don't have Scarlet Fever.
Thanks.
We'll check up next time. I feel a little safe in at least venturing that you don't. But, of course, if you do and it becomes a large medical ordeal, I will feel bad forever. And I have it on record saying that I dismissed your concern.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm really going out on a limb.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, because I know how seriously you take medical phenomenon.
Yes.
So if you believe I probably don't have it, then I'm gonna sleep a little better at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I do have it, you're gonna sleep a lot worse.
Oh, without a doubt, for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So we have an awesome show today. We're so excited. We have a great guest. We're going to do a call-in with our favorite Dr. Laura. And before we jump into that, let's do a quick ringworm update. Ringworm 2016. How's your ringworm doing?
Alive and kicking. How about yours?
Great. It's gone for now, but not forgotten.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well,
let's get on with the show.
We have a very exciting guest today. We're super happy to have her. We have Betsy Sodaro. You know her from a bunch of shows at UCB, like Search History and Bangarang, and just a bunch of other awesome things on television. She's just the best. Betsy, I'm so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me,
guys.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm excited to
be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Some would say I'm more happy.
You are dancing right now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah.
So excited.
So we're just going to jump right into it with a pretty sort of easy, light question just to start.
Okay. I don't know what to
say. Betsy, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
Oh, boy.
Just a light one.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think because I go through waves.
Mm. Nice.
I go through waves where I'm like, I have a zero, you know,
absolutely
no fear. And then I'll, like, be watching a documentary about old people or something, and I'll have, like, a 10.
Yeah.
A 10.
Yeah.
Like, I go through so many different waves of feeling terrified of death, or like, you know what? No, I've had a good life, or whatever. Like,
oh, so in some scenarios, you've just led a good enough life so that it'd be okay if you were to leave.
There are moments where it's like, oh yeah, you know what? It's been fun.
But
then there are moments where it's like, I can't fucking die.
Yeah.
I do not want to die.
Yeah.
But also, I do not want to grow old.
Right.
That terrifies me too. Of like growing old and dying alone is the scariest thing.
Oh.
Oh. definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Now, and are you afraid of dying, like literally dying alone, or just dying sort of emotionally alone? Because, you know, because you could die alone. Like you could die on a hike. You could die riding your bike and just sort of be alone.
I think
are
more
you
emotionally? Mm,
yeah.
Right.
But like, it is scary, the idea of dying alone and then like later somebody maybe finding you.
That's, yeah. I think that's the big one. Not so much like that, like we technically all die alone. Like no one's going to die alongside you. But yeah, the thought that like you would die alone because you didn't have anyone there to find you when you were just in a position to be saved, that's terrifying. Yes. Like choking to death in your apartment alone.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
And I like choke a lot, and my mom does too. And she's always said, she's always like, oh, I'm going to die choking. Ugh. And like there are moments where I start choking, I'm like, I'm going to die choking.
You choke? Oh, you choke a lot?
Yeah, I don't know why, like, even just like not drink, like just on my own spit, like I'll just start losing it.
Have you ever had to have somebody save you from choking?
When I was a little kid, I like inhaled a grape and then my parents had to Heimlich me.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, that's about it. But there are moments where it's just like, I just stop breathing.
Yeah. No, I think there's I think that a lot of choking is the result of panicking, thinking that you're going to choke. Then you kind of inhale, because that's what we do when we have a panic attack, is we take a very deep breath and you just swallow something that you should have been chewing. And then next thing you know, out comes the grape.
Yes.
Thankfully. Thank you to Betsy's parents for saving her life.
You did good, Sue and Craig.
Good work, Sue and Craig.
Do you know how to Heimlich yourself?
I think like on a chair, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to
throw
yourself on a chair. Yeah, I don't know if I could do it.
See, I don't know if I would be able to think.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I would go in survival mode, but I feel I would panic more. Oh, I feel I would panic and go into shock way more than I would ever solve a thing.
Yeah.
I'll go a step further. When I start eating at my apartment alone, I actually start listening around for which neighbors are there, because because they're close enough so that if I started choking, I do think I could get to their door in time. Oh. And I have to consider I think most importantly, who could help me, but then also who likes me enough to help me, like who would open the door quickly, because if someone comes pounding on my door, I wouldn't know that they were choking, and what would happen is I'd be like, they're like going to complain about something, and then I wouldn't want to answer. So who likes me enough to save my life because they really want me to live, not just because it's the human thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to think every knock on my door is one of my neighbors choking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys are lucky because you live with people, so probably someone could be at the house. But but me, I'm just there by myself. It's Highland Park, so there's no one for like 2 or 3 miles that really knows me as a person that really wants me to survive. There's just like some people that like want their rent, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm rent to these people.
That's such – I always think about, is somebody in one of the – like the adjacent apartment buildings to me is like, is somebody in a crisis situation that I'm hearing and I don't recognize
as a crisis? I always worry about that. I've also been like on a big true crime kick for the last like – I mean, honestly, the last like few
years. You and the rest of America.
But, yeah, right? We love it. But I always think that like I'll hear screams or something and just be – that sounds so crazy. But, you know, like little yells and stuff. And I'm like, what if that person is getting murdered?
Yeah.
There was a – recently, Mana and I, we were hanging out, and we started hearing this, like weird, weird – sounded kind of like a lady in distress. And we were like, what the fuck is going on? And we knew it was coming from our neighbors to the south of us. So we ran into my room and, like, opened up my curtains.
Yeah.
And there is a fucking bulldog – sitting outside, just like barking like a lady. It was, and we both like were so excited and started just like screaming at it and like getting its attention. His name is Barnaby.
I was gonna say it was a best case scenario before you said its name was Barnaby. Yeah. Definitely an even better case scenario that its name was Barnaby.
Isn't that
Barnaby? Screams like a lady.
So
it was a boy dog screaming like a lady outside.
Screaming like a lady outside. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Because I was what if we see somebody getting murdered, Mono? What do we do?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, call.
Yeah.
You know, but I never know because I would want to be like, I imagine myself to be more of a hero than I think I am.
Do too.
Like one time, like Ben and I were outside of the Arc Light, and like there was this guy in the parking lot of Jack in the Box, and he was kind of like strong-arming his girlfriend a little bit. And he was, like, you know, just, like, a big piece of shit. And, like, and she kept being, like, stop it, stop it. And I just, like, went up to them, and I was, like, talked to her. I was, like, honey, are you okay? And he was, like, he started mocking me. He was, like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was, like, I'm not talking to you. Are you okay? And she was, like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. And Ben was, like, what are you doing?
You're so brave. You are a hero.
He's, like, but if you want to fix it, like, call the police. Don't just, like, your tiny little self walk over there and be like, are you okay?
You would have done good on that What Would You Do show. Oh. Do you watch that?
No, I've never even heard of it. Oh,
there are episodes on Hulu, and I think it's on, like, ABC or something, yeah. But they set up scenarios just to see what everyday citizens would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get a little wild.
They get a little crazy.
Because, I mean, in the end, it's like, we have 7 scenarios. How do we just keep reciting? Like, there was one that Mono's telling me, where there's, like, a fortune teller in a restaurant or something. I don't fucking know. I didn't watch it. I can't find it, but yeah. What would you do?
Yeah.
That's brave. Scary, but brave.
But yeah, but I felt like I could have done more. And also, like, I felt like if he had done anything, I couldn't have fought him.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, I think I sort of imagine myself as, like, someone who, like, could fight better than I, like, actually could.
I do. I know what I mean? Yeah. I'm always in that mindset. Yeah. Like, I can destroy someone.
Right.
I think I can.
I think in Ben's case, or if it was me in that scenario, then we kind of do more have to fear that the guy will attack us. Like, for you, I think that it's, I mean, not to say that terrible men who attack women don't exist. I mean, I don't know any, thankfully, but I know that they exist in the world. Yeah. I hear about them on the news all the time.
Yeah.
But it is a little, I think it's a little safer. But as far as, like, as far as just attempting to be heroic when it doesn't feel like there's danger, I think of you as being a heroic person. And I think of myself as thinking of myself as a heroic person. I do remember that one time when we saw a lady collapse on the steps outside of Whole Foods, and we, like, so, like, we were attempting to park at a Whole Foods, at the Whole Foods on Sunset and something or other. And as she was pulling into the parking lot, we saw an older lady who was carrying groceries just sort of drop on the steps. She was walking down. She was walking down to a lower level where a bus station or a bus stop was. And so she just collapsed. And so, like, Madeline slammed on the brakes right there in the parking lot like a true hero would. And then our heroic instincts set in, and we both jumped out of the car and we rushed over to her. And I accidentally stepped on her purse. I stepped on her purse.
Oh my God.
Like a true hero would. I smashed her
crushed
things.
All her mints.
Exactly, exactly. I crushed her medication.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then Madeline helped her up. I grabbed her bags and we walked her down to the bus stop, and then we kind of just had to leave her there, because even when you're heroic, you don't have that much influence over the duration of people's lives. Yeah. So it was sort of this sad thing where it was like, now she just has to get on a bus.
So did she, like, fall down? Like trip?
She tripped.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Like, okay. She didn't, all of a sudden just fucking, like, out of nowhere. Like,
we didn't just, like, pick her up and then, like, set her down on it.
Yeah. Yeah. We put her on the bus, said, next stop, hospital, and that was that.
So nice.
Yeah. If I recall, I think she was like, I'm fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She, okay. Like, but also, like, people are so embarrassed when they fall down. I feel like they won't accept help.
Yes.
Or, I mean, like, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you always say, I'm fine. Like, it's a, I think we talked about it in the last podcast with Will Hines. It's this thing that that I find very fascinating, that, like, people choke to death because they're too afraid to admit that they're choking. That, like, when people are in trouble, they don't want you to let out. Think about in, like, the simple scenario of our own careers, like when somebody is having money trouble and they don't want you to know about it. And like, this is so much more severe and so much more, like, sort of embarrassing, the idea that you couldn't swallow your food. But no, I mean, it's just like we all chew bad.
Yeah.
We chew quickly. We've been doing it our entire lives.
We shovel food into our mouths.
Yeah.
So fast that foods have been designed to be shoveled into our mouths more quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
We're people that need mush in our lives just in order to keep from asphyxiating.
That is such a huge thing, though. Like, because I grew up like that. In my family, it was very much like, you have got to be very hurt or very sick to go to see a doctor. Like, that happened a lot where it was, and I get it, like, it's expensive, and my parents had four kids who like played sports and stuff, so it was a constant, like, is it really broken or,
oh my gosh,
like, let's see, and then it would be like, okay, we gotta go. Yeah. But, like, just growing up with that mentality of, like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I can walk this off. Yeah. I can walk this off. It takes a lot to be like,
yeah.
But it also, the times where I have had to be like, I'm sick or hurt.
Yeah, like, what did
it
take? Like, what's, like, can you give me an example of a time that you've been so sick or hurt that you were like, I gotta ask for help?
Yeah, I have a few. One time I broke my ankle. I slipped on ice and broke my ankle. And at first I was like, oh, shit, I sprained my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept trying to walk on it. And then I was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this isn't good. I did, though, end up going home and trying to sleep and stuff, because it was, like, at night when it happened, trying to sleep, and then I woke, like, I had the worst night of sleep, and I woke up, and my room was in the basement, and I, like, crawled up the stairs, and I had to go to my roommates and be like, I have to go to the emergency room.
Was this in college?
Yeah, this was in college.
How did you, what were you doing on the ice?
Just walking home. Walking home after bowling, and I just biffed it, and it was, like, a pretty funny fall, because I usually am, I fall a bunch, and so I, like, I usually lay there laughing, but this one immediately, like, my friends were laughing, and immediately I was like, this was not funny, guys. This was not a funny fall. Like,
oh, no.
I was in so much pain.
It did hurt a lot, because I'd heard that thing that that the sprain hurts
hurt
a ton,
more.
But that the break, just, there's nothing that you can do. Like, you can't actually even stand on it.
I will say, the break, it felt like my foot was, like, hanging from a sprain. Like, I've never felt that before. Usually a sprain is like,
And you walked on it?
I tried a few times, and then I was like, I can't, and then my friends.
And none of your friends were like, it's broken? They all just let you go right home?
I think I did the thing of where I was like, I bet I sprained it. It's just a bad sprain. Let me just, like, try to sleep it off. We'll see what it's like tomorrow. Ugh. And then in the morning, I was like, it feels like my foot's going to fall off.
Let's go. Nice.
And then I had to get two surgeries.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what's an example of a story where you didn't go? Like, where you decided that, maybe with your parents, where you decided, like, this isn't enough? Isn't it funny, though, also just that expression, walk it off? Like, no one ever says it except when your leg is really injured. Like, that's, you should not be walking things off when you're, like, if they said sleep it off, it would make sense, because that doesn't take your leg. But, anything where, like, you just didn't feel like it was enough, and then you found out, like, oh, no, I definitely should have gone to the hospital.
I'm trying to think. There's one incident that sticks out, but with my sister.
Okay, good.
Where we went sledding. And we crashed, and she broke her wrist. And she was in so much pain, but my parents are like, no, I bet it's fine. I bet it's fine. And then the next morning, she, like, went to them and was like, please, I think I broke my wrist. And then she totally did. Like, that's what sticks out with me. Because I feel usually they were pretty right of when it was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I feel a lot of, like, sprains
and
stuff where it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am better now.
Yeah. So I feel like, so that's all, like, real, legit medical stuff. Now, do you feel like you have any, like, hypochondriac tendencies or, like, germophobic tendencies?
I'm germophobic for sure.
Tell me about that.
I wash my hands constantly.
Really?
Like, how many times a day?
Oh my! I mean, when I'm preparing a meal, probably, like, 5 or 6 times, depending on what I'm doing.
Like, in the course of the meal?
Within the course of, like, making a dinner.
Okay, I'm probably germophobic then.
All of it. And then whenever I get to a new place, I usually have to go wash my hands. I usually carry Purell with me when I'm ever out in, like, on an adventure or something where I'm just like, okay.
I've had the experience of buying eggs at the grocery store, you know, and, like, you know, you open the carton of eggs and you touch them all to see if there's a broken one. But then I always feel like I have to wash my hands after handling every egg, because there might be, like, broken egg residue on one of the eggs.
And I've started salmonella, man.
Yeah, I've had to go. And then, like, the bathroom at a grocery store is so hard to find that I've started carrying Purell to the grocery store specifically to Purell my hands after I touch eggs.
It takes a lot for me, and I've been able to, like, get better mentally at it, but it takes a lot for me to not think about what's been in the baskets.
Oh,
and yeah. What's been on the, like, mm-hmm. the little conveyor belt. Like, it yeah. takes a lot for me yeah. to just be like, it's fine. Everything's yeah. fine. We're doing good. Yeah. I need these, you know, like, because yeah. This didn't happen until I was in my freshman year of college.
Really?
I started getting super duper germophobic yeah. and just...
Do you remember, was it like an event that sparked it? Or what? Like, what do you think, why do you think it happened then?
I don't know. It's also the time when I started having panic attacks for the first time.
I think
it's straight
thing.
Up me being away from home.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
You're responsible for yourself. And then suddenly we become very aware of all the things in the world that can get us.
Yes.
And most of them are not things like someone stalking you through the streets late at night.
No.
It's mostly like the things you're unaware of. If you go to the gym, people have been sweating all over that Ooh, crap, and it's disgusting.
That's
why
I don't go. That's the only reason why I don't go.
I would yeah. burn those gyms down if I were you. They're disgusting.
Yes. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah.
It's so,
podcast over.
It's like so weird because I feel like also now has your germophobia gotten better or worse? What do you think?
I think I've learned how to maintain it better. Like mm-hmm. it used to be very bad, and I'll go through little phases where it's just every second I have to like clean, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I've been able to, like, really calm it down and just yeah. be like, okay, when I go to the restaurant, after I order and before I touch my glass of water, I'll go wash my hands and I'll be fine
yeah.
for the
yeah.
meal. You know,
yeah.
like, I've just kind of started planning stuff out just for me, little yeah. things. I'm just like, okay, and, like, if I ever, it's fine to be like, I have to go wash my hands
yeah.
again. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I think I've been able to control it, but like I said, there are moments where whenever I'm in New York, I can't handle it. Like subways and
yeah.
everything, free, it's a mm-hmm. it gives me right. huge anxiety yeah. going to
yeah.
New York.
Especially because yeah. one of your true pleasures is handling subway rats.
I know,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm yeah. pretty...
Do you feel like it correlates? Like, for me, I feel like a lot of time, like, I'll notice that I'll be a little more obsessive about it, like, if I'm in a period where, like, I feel like a more anxious period of time. Like, my, like, little, like, germophobic tics will get worse. Do you find that, or is it, like, pretty random?
I think it's pretty random, but it could be. The next time yeah. it happens, I'm going to yeah. think of, like, am I anxious right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Because I feel like... For me, the anxiety is now its own thing,
yeah.
and then the germaphobe thing
yeah.
is just like its own thing.
Yeah.
Like I think with like phobias in particular, like those kinds of phobias, which are real, you know, like as opposed to like people say like I have a shark phobia. Who isn't afraid of sharks? Like
right.
that's crazy
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But with things like that, like I've noticed for, at least with mine, that like one little instance of it will then stick it in my mind, and for the next like 2 weeks I'll have like a bunch of germophobia, or like if I have like if I bite into something and it hurts my tooth a little bit, like I'll be aware of my teeth
yes.
for the next 2 weeks, and then it'll go away because
yes.
there's nothing that triggered it beyond that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that happens to me for sure. Like
yeah.
I'll see one thing and then that will just be about. Like oh, I gotta clean everything right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or like this is like, so I feel like I pretty recently became a little more like obsessive about washing my hands. And
yeah.
it's like, we talked about this a little bit last time, but I think it started last year when I got ringworm on my leg.
Yeah. Also,
it
Betsy,
was so
I also have ringworm.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. What are you guys doing, wrestling
yeah.
in a gross high school?
I, like, couldn't figure out where it came from. Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
It was just appeared on my leg. I'd never had it before, so I didn't even know what it was. And then I did all this research about how, like, you know, some websites said if you, like, touch your ringworm and then touch a doorknob. I was like, I went to the doctor and specifically asked her, like, do I have to wash my pants, like, every single time
yes.
I wear them? Do I have to wash my sheets every time I use them? And she was like, no, 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 no. But it made it so, like, now, like, I would wash my body in the shower and then wash the soap with other soap.
Oh my God.
Because I was so scared of spreading ringworm. And like then that a little bit spread to like other areas of my life where now I just, I never used to really care about washing my hands. And now I wash them
with every right.
All the time.
That would trigger
me
to
always wash my hands. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It made me crazy.
Oh, God. Just knowing that it can spread that way. Yeah. Now I'm going to be even more crazy.
Oh, I know. But like the good thing is like my, like the doctor specifically said, like, that's not true.
Right.
Yes.
Like,
that's fantastic.
You know, that's not true. And like, my, like a friend of mine who's a doctor also was like, no, if it's not that contagious, like relax. But it's just like, when you're like, oh, well, I should just keep washing my hands all the time.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it does. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
It's not like we had to stop wrestling for that high school for the gross.
Yes. I bet you guys are good, huh?
Really good.
Yeah. We're really good wrestlers.
We're so good at wrestling high school kids.
The grosser you are.
They mostly don't want to hurt us because we are so old.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, this really feels wrong. That looks like my mom.
Yeah. They would tell you that high school wrestling shouldn't have finishing moves, but the ringworm has worked like wonders.
It's really.
Oh my God.
It was really such a nightmare.
Yeah. This is my second. This is my second ringworm.
What?
Yeah. I had it like I got.
How do you get it out? Is it really a worm?
No. I wish.
It's just athlete's foot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When it's on another part of your body, it's just of your called
why
ringworm.
Why don't they just say that?
Right.
I don't know.
That sounds so much better than fucking ringworm.
I know.
Right, yeah.
I know, because it's not a worm, and that's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have a worm, and because calling it ringworm makes you think it's like
it's
circular
worm
that's embedded itself into your skin.
But if you know dirty people, at some point you're probably going to get ringworm.
Ugh.
Like I got mine.
Gross mono agapian.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
I got mine from baby mono. I was handling it as an infant. And no, I did get mine from, I worked at a daycare center when I was like 18 or 19. And it was like there were these little filthy children and I would play with them all day long.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, there's this this like circle of infection on my arm. And then... I was like 18. So this was many, many years ago. And then this past year whenever Madeline got ringworm, she told me about her ringworm and my ringworm just like came right back. So I was convinced.
So it can be like dormant?
So the doctor that we consulted told us no, that like stress cannot bring it back on. It has to be. And I never touched Madeline's ringworm. I didn't touch once I heard Madeline had a ringworm, I have not touched her since.
That's insane. You manifested it, man.
I think I did.
Yeah.
And so I believe that, that like the true hero that I am, I've developed the first case of anxiety-induced ringworm.
Yes. Yes.
In the history of the world.
Holy shit.
It's really a nightmare.
It's really gross.
Yeah. Mine's gone now.
Yeah.
And it specifically went away when I stopped thinking about it so much. Had it like, you know, I had it. It was basically gone, but I kept like examining that area and being like, it's not gone. And then once I got like worried about something else and like didn't think about it for a couple minutes,
like,
then I was
great.
Like, oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Now, have you had anything like that where like just like reading about something or hearing about something like has like planted a seed in your brain and you've thought like, oh my gosh, I have that?
Well, actually, maybe. I go on WebMD quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
And I'm always just like, oh, I'm dying.
So tell me about that.
I had this infection a few 2 Decembers ago in my heart muscles. This is a whole other story. It's a long.
Holy shit.
It's crazy. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
It's insane.
I so much want to hear this.
So it started on Thursday. I was at a shoot and I was like, ooh, I feel kind of like a fever's coming on. Okay, I'm going to like chill out, you know? And I like finished the shoot and then went home and was like, I'm just going to rest. I'm going to fight this. You know, I'm going to eat some soup.
Yeah.
Kind of that excited, like, oh, it's kind of fun to like.
Yeah, I love being
just
sick enough that you can just relax and feel good about it.
Yeah, yeah. And then Friday came and I was like, ooh, I'm still. It's not getting any better. Okay. Saturday, the same. I'm just like, I can barely move. Like, oh, I feel terrible. And it was pretty much fever, achy. That was about it. Like, nothing else. No throat stuff. You know, nothing
else.
That's
so weird.
And so Saturday, night, I was like, tomorrow I'm going to go to the doctor. Because it was like at a time when a lot of shit was getting, was going around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'll get one of those shots in my butt and I'll feel fine.
Yeah.
So I go that Sunday, and it was a day when the Odyssey was happening.
Oh, you know? Yeah. For those of you who don't know, the Odyssey's a large theater-wide scavenger hunt.
Yes.
Or treasure hunt, rather, that UCB puts on.
Yes. And so, like, Mary and Mono were gone doing that. And then, but Tony came and she's like, I'll drive you. Cause I was like, I don't know if I can drive. Like, I haven't been able to eat really, you know, and I was just feeling weird. And so I went and I got the shot in my butt and I started feeling great. Like, I was like, ooh, I walked up to Gelson's and I bought some more soup and I like ate it and I had a half a bagel and I was losing my mind.
Oh,
and I was feeling great. And then, Mary and Mono got back and they started working on bits for this other show and I started feeling terrible again. Like, I started just like having the chills, but then also was like drenched in sweat and I was like, I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to sleep. And the last thing I remember is putting on Dumb and Dumber in my bed, and then I woke up in the fucking hospital.
Oh.
Getting wheeled through a hospital. Whoa. And I, at the time, had been watching season 2 of American Horror Story.
Oh, no.
like, with my sick brain just being like, it's happening. People think I'm crazy. So apparently what had happened is I came out of my room, and luckily Mono and Mary were there because they had a show to go to, came out of my room, and I apparently was like, I feel like I'm fucking wasted. And I went to the bathroom, and they said, like, it sounded like I, like, fell over and stuff. I walked out, and I collapsed.
Oh, no.
In front of them, and they called Mark and Steve, and then they, like, called a doctor, and the doctor's like, call an ambulance, whatever. Call an ambulance. And so I woke up, and I was, like, in ICU for a night, and they were trying to figure out what was going on. And I couldn't remember my sister's name.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
I couldn't remember, like, where I lived. But I, like, knew in my head. You know, I, like, knew in my head. Yeah. I was like, what a stupid question.
Right, right,
like,
right.
I would even laugh and be like, oh, yeah, I know my sister's names. And then I would just blank out, and I was like, what are my sister's names?
Oh,
and
no.
So I, like, was going through all these tests and stuff. And, like, finally I got to see Mono and Mary and Tony and Marcus. Like, they let them come see me.
Yeah.
And I was just so fucked up. I was like, what's going on? They didn't know. Oh. And then my parents came the next day. It was, like, one of those. And they finally discovered that I had this, I can't remember the name of it, but this infection in my heart muscle.
Oh, my God.
That made my... made it swell up so much that it stopped my heart.
Oh, wow.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Legit.
It stopped your heart?
Yeah. And so, like, I, like, collapsed.
Yeah.
And then...
You almost died.
I almost died.
Yeah, you legit
and I had
almost died.
The last thing I remember when I was, like, falling asleep was I was walking up to get a pork bon mi sandwich. This was my dream. And it was around Christmas time. I was walking up towards UCB Franklin, and there were a ton of Christmas lights. That's not a thing. You know, there are a ton of Christmas lights.
No,
and I was so excited to go get a pork bon mi sandwich.
Oh,
and then there was that huge light and then a loud, like, clapping noise. And then I woke up in the fucking hospital.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So looking back on it, was there any sign leading up to what happened to your heart that you could have known?
Well, I had, like, chest... like, with the fever and stuff, my chest was tight.
Yeah.
But I thought that was anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I get that all the time.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, it's just a little anxiety. Yeah. I'm just sick. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I just have a chest thing because that was, like, a thing that was going around.
Yeah.
And so, so I didn't even think of it. And they were asking me, they're like, did you have, like, was your chest aching and stuff? I was like, yeah, but I didn't think anything of it.
No.
Yeah.
And so now I go on whenever I have any, like, thing in my chest or something, I'll go to WebMD and they're like, you're probably having a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm having a heart attack. I'm dying.
Oh. And how did that happen? Did they tell you how do you get a heart muscle infection?
So it was just, is a virus just what's in you? It's that thing that was like,
it's just a sickness. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Just wait it out.
It wasn't contagious. Oh. It was just in me.
Did you get it like from eat? Like, is it?
No, it's like not from like ingesting any. I can't remember. Somebody listening probably knows. Like, but I think it was just a thing that just my body formed, and it tried to fight off, and then it just
and then it didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If that like for chest tightness to 99% of the time mean like you have a little cold or you're a little anxious, but then to experience that 1% where you have a deadly heart infection, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I would be on WebMD every day.
Yeah, you know? I constantly like, ooh, ooh. But then it doesn't help because I'm like, oh, no, I'm not not having a hard day.
Yeah, no. And I feel like WebMD's whole model is like, it's nobody sue us. Like, I feel like the best thing they could do is just dissolve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think WebMD is amazing and that that you should be aware that you could be having a heart attack when you could be having a heart attack and that you should just do something about it. Because most of the time you're going to find out otherwise, but you're going to know 100% for sure. And I just like knowing 100% for sure. Like, I feel that I'm sickest before I know what I have. And then once I know what I have, they give you like a list of things that can make it kind of go better. And then I just do those things. Like, all I really want is for someone to tell me in life how to do the things that I don't know how to do that are causing me anxiety. Yeah. So like, WebMD, you're cool with me, baby.
I mean, there is that feel of, once you know, with everything, once you know, it feels so much better to be like, oh, great, now I can get over it, or now I know what's happening. But
and it's brutal in the moment in that same way where you're like, you know, does she like me or does she not like me? And then you find out she doesn't like you, and it's like, oh, that sucks. She doesn't like me.
But
now I move on with my life. Yeah, now I can, like, be proactive about things.
Yeah.
Like, because we talk about I had this esophageal condition for, like, 3 months, and we didn't know what it was, but I couldn't swallow solid food, you know? And then as soon as I was able to figure out what it was, which was like basically an allergic reaction to allergy medication. So like the worst thing you could have an allergic reaction to.
Yeah. Shithead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Claritin.
Yeah, Claritin. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Claritin.
Yeah.
Claritin, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Claritin
this
D as in dick.
Named, like, Elda Claritin. Huge office.
Can Claritin keep you awake?
Yeah.
It can?
Mm-hmm.
It can keep you awake? It can?
The daytime stuff, because it's supposed to give you a little bit of boost so you don't fall asleep.
But it's 24 hours, so you want to go to sleep.
Okay, so not that one. I haven't had that one.
Did
I just take the daytime
ones.
I took Claritin yesterday. I usually don't take a lot of, like, cold medicines because I feel like they all make me feel crazy.
Yes.
Like, I'd rather just have a cold than feel like I'm, like, high on some weird psychedelic drug. And I feel like but I took Claritin yesterday because I was like, I can't have a stuffy nose anymore. But then I couldn't. I took it at, like, 6 p.m., and I was, like, wide awake until 2 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
I also drank, like, 3 Diet Cokes. Like,
that's, you had way more than 3.
That's okay. All right. I don't know if it's a Claritin.
No. But maybe.
Did you guys ever have friends, or did you ever robo trip?
No.
I've done it in college. Yeah, I did it one time.
I never did it, but I had friends who did it all the time. You, like, drink a bunch of Robitussin or take a bunch of Dayquil, and then you get, like, wild off of it.
What is it? What did it feel like?
Well, I mean, it's hard to compare it to anything other than, like, a drug that you would then ask me, what does that feel like? But it's it's sort of similar to the description that Betsy gave of when right before she collapsed, where you're like, you feel like you just sort of feel you just feel whacked out of your mind, but not necessarily in a way like you're almost capable of rationalizing it. But if you were to talk to anyone that you attempted to rationalize it to, they would say that you were just out of your mind. And then mostly it just like kind of feels nice. I mean, most drug kind of things, like your body just kind of goes like limp and funny feeling. And,
Ooh, that sounds so nice.
Ooh,
like you're dead but still awake. Ooh, get me some Robitussin.
Like you're what is it, like a vegetable where your mind is working but you can't say
like
anything.
Like the diving bell and the butterfly.
Yes.
Right. Ooh, I'll type some words out with my eyes. Ooh, I can't wait.
And when you're when you're not sober talking about it, you actually can't wait. Like, it does seem like a great thing. Like, I'm going to tell you some words out with my eyeballs.
The only medicine I have an allergy to is codeine. Mm. And I took it once when I was – so when I was growing up, my family went on vacation in Ohio on Lake Erie every year.
Yes.
And we stopped going because every year everybody got really sick. Like, just – we'd, like, swim in the lake. It was beautiful. It was so fun. And then – everybody would get like horrible ear infections and like stomach viruses. It's like just too dirty of a lake to go on vacation to.
Yeah.
And one year I got so sick at Lake Erie, and it was like I had to go to the doctor and get a shot in my butt.
Yes.
And like I just remember like being like woozy in bed, watching like a teeny tiny portable TV with a video of like one of those like lost Disney movies that like The Black Cauldron.
Oh my God.
Which is like so, like already like a fever dream.
Yes.
Because it was like one of those that was like too dark and they kind of buried it in the vault forever.
Yes. There are a bunch of those where it's like, this is fucked up.
And then I took some codeine because the doctor had prescribed it. And all of a sudden, the whole world was just like spinning forever. And I was like tearing around our cottage and like throwing myself down on the couch. And I couldn't stop throwing up. And I just felt so basically, I think like sounds like robo-tripping high sort of. But I just felt so crazy that I don't even know if I have an allergy to codeine, but I write it down all the time
because I never want to feel like that again. Yeah. Pain pills, terrify. I don't like how I feel on pain pills. So I usually just do Tylenol PM. And that usually knocks me out because I don't take a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need is Tylenol PM.
I feel like the same with like any sleeping pill really makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, if I really have to go to bed and I really can't fall asleep, I'll just take a Benadryl.
Oh, yeah. That'll knock you out.
And I fall asleep immediately.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty, like it's not, you know, it's not like NyQuil. It's like, you don't wake up feeling like horrible.
Yeah.
It's just like a little Benadryl.
I can't take any of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I can't take anything that dries you out even a little bit. I get the dysphagia.
Oh, yeah. So it's a constant thing.
It would be if I do. Like every once in a while, the weather will get so bad that I'll be forced to take, like an Allegra or something like that. And then, it takes like real effort to swallow for the next day or two. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not the only one. Like, I've diagnosed it in other people as well. Like, if you come from a place that has more moisture in the air than here, for some reason, like, this dry climate just messes with your system when allergy season sets in and you have to take anything that because that's sort of, like, the point of all these pills is that, like, you've got a runny nose and it's going to dry you out. But so back in Michigan where I'm from, we have the hay fever. You know, I think most places have it. You know, the pollens. I call it desert fever here. It's because it's just completely different. I'm allergic to all the sand and it gets me. And then if I take anything to deal with it, then it just creates a new sickness.
It creates a desert inside your body. Your throat is a desert.
Desert. That's right.
God.
Oh my gosh. Betsy, thank you so much. This
thanks
was so
me.
Fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I can talk about this stuff all day.
Oh, it's so fun. I hope you never get
thank you.
That kind of
every I've yeah. like every like half a year I'll go get an EKG just to be like it's not in there, right? Because I'm terrified.
Right, keep doing it.
Of that
Absolutely.
Shit.
Yeah.
If that is a thing. If you have a fever for honestly I want to say 3 days, but like 2 days, go get checked in.
Check public service announcement. I will.
Yeah.
Because that shit's scary.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed to go into the doctor, people.
Yeah.
No,
they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
To give you suckers.
Yes.
Now we're on with our resident expert physician, who we can ask all of our medical questions to, Laura Malone. Hey, Laura, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
Good,
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Nice.
So Laura, I have a question today about a story that I read on CNN Health yesterday.
Okay.
CNN Health wrote an article about the dangers of swallowing a grill brush. Are you familiar with a grill brush?
Yeah, like the big thing.
Yeah, like the wire like brush you use to clean a grill.
Okay.
Not like swallowing the whole thing.
Yeah, like a bristle. Apparently, a little girl swallowed like a metal bristle from a grill brush because it had gotten stuck on the grill and then was cooked into a hamburger and then she ate it. And then according to CNN Health, there are 130 grill brush injuries per year. And we just wanted to ask you if this sounds like a legit thing we should actually be nervous about.
Well, I can tell you that I have never seen a grill brush injury. And, you know, I guess we're hitting up on the time when it would be more common being summertime, but I've never heard of one or seen one before. So I think as long as you don't like go and swallow the wire pieces, you should be okay. I would assume you'd be okay, you know, old enough to know you're not supposed to do that.
What would be some signs that maybe your grill had been contaminated by these brush, bristles? You know, so how would I know to avoid a hamburger, say, in the future?
I mean, if you see metal pieces sticking out of it, that would be a sign to not eat the hamburger.
So there isn't going to be, like, anything like maybe, like, there's not going to be, like, maybe some discoloration in the burger? It's just, like, you just have to look, you have to, like, scan your burger for bristles?
I don't think you need, like, a metal detector, but you'd probably be able to see it.
But a metal detector, you know, if you've read this article and you're very concerned, a metal detector would theoretically, like if you were crazy enough, it would work, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, if the metal in the bristles is like what is picked up from the detector, you know, it doesn't pick up everything, the metal detector. It's only certain types of metals.
Right.
So maybe you could find one that's like programmed for it, but I really don't think you need to do that. I think you can probably just look at the burger and make sure you don't see any metal pieces coming out of it.
So you probably, for the future, we probably don't want to get metal grills because it'll interfere with our metal detectors when we're scanning our burgers. Good point. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
grills in general lead to very delicious cuts of meat, but why aren't they the grossest thing in the world? Like, no one cleans them, right? Like, why aren't we all getting infected from our grills?
Because the heat kills the bacteria and things.
So heat will kill all bacteria?
It'll kill most of the ones. Not always.
Always.
Yeah, what are always. So if you were to warn people about some actual risks of grilling, what would you say? What warnings would you issue?
I mean, the biggest risk would be to burn yourself on the grill.
Like your face.
I mean, do you normally put your face down in the grill?
I mean, if I'm scanning for bristles, I am.
Yeah. You got to look really close to that grill to see if CNN, I feel like CNN is going to get a lot of angry letters about alarming people about grill brush bristles, and they'll look too closely at their grill and burn their faces off.
Right. So,
maybe.
Knowing how irresponsible CNN is, what could you do to counteract this? Like, give our listeners something to feel good about.
The bristle incident?
Just in general, that grilling is one of our premier dangers.
Yeah. So try and avoid touching the grill with your face. It would be a good one, or your hands.
Fair.
Okay. Don't touch the grill with your face or your hands. Everybody listen to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to use like grills inside. That's a bad thing.
Oh, have you ever seen any, have you seen any injuries because of people using a grill inside?
I personally, but I work with some people that have.
Wow.
So
just smoke inhalation or is there something, is it gas? Gas grills?
Yeah. So you can get the biggest concern is like carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why isn't there an article about that? Because I could see it being rainy and I would wheel a grill into my kitchen and be like, well, I'll just grill these burgers inside and then I'll wheel it right back out tomorrow.
I've done it. You know, they have those mini grills. I've grilled inside.
The Foreman? That's an electric grill.
No. The one that I had was also an electric grill, but it wasn't the Foreman
so
one.
So you can use an – so it's not the fear of, like, the smoke or the fire. It's, like, the gas. So we just shouldn't use a gas grill inside. Okay.
You heard it from Dr. Laura. Yeah. No need to be afraid of smoke or fire.
Yeah, you can smoke and fire. I can build it. You
exactly
can build
what
a fire.
I said.
That's what she said.
Yeah,
avoid your bristles.
No, not exactly what
smoke
I said.
Smoke and fire, good. Okay. Gas inhalation bad. Dr. Laura.
Okay. Yeah, what so
at least you got one of the things correct.
Do you find that, like, CNN is generally helpful, or is it, like, a little bit alarmist?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't necessarily, like, I don't read the CNN health article regularly, so I don't know what other information is out there, but I mean, sometimes it can be accurate, but then other times it might be a little over the top.
I don't know. I might get
in trouble with CNN now.
You heard it here first. Dr. Laura does not trust CNN.
They're hacks.
Is there anywhere that you go to get your health news?
So I'm on a lot of, like, listservs through the hospital that I work at and things that tell us the more accurate, up-to-date information. There are also some websites that physicians are allowed to be a part of to get information.
It's so really the so only way to get to... correct health information is to be a doctor?
That's bullshit.
Well, not the only way, but there's a lot of misinformation out on the internet and things, and so there are more reputable sources compared to others. And so we have some that only physicians belong to keep
you
it.
Could, you could probably argue that
pretty accurate.
One of the more reliable sources would probably be this podcast, right?
I don't know about that.
Interesting.
We were just talking in our interview about WebMD. Where does WebMD fall on the spectrum of reliability?
So WebMD, like, the information that it says is pretty accurate. The problem is that it's pretty broad in the information that it gives you and sort of symptoms and things. And so there can be a lot of other more common things that are less severe but might fit within sort of one of the WebMD categories.
You can't see this right now, but Ben is literally doing a victory dance because you said that WebMD is legit. He's
legit.
Truly
did. I didn't say it was legit. I said that
this has been Dr. Laura for WebMD.
Completely inaccurate. Not completely inaccurate.
But
does have some misinformation.
To clarify, you said CNN is completely inaccurate, correct? CNN Health.
I didn't say that either.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like you're saying things. I'm hearing other things. I'm going to put it on you.
Yeah.
Well, Laura,
so it's my fault.
Do you want to leave our listeners with any other piece of wisdom about how to stay safe with their grills this season?
I guess don't leave any unattended children close by the grill. I'd prefer not to see them in my hospital.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
That's a good tip.
That's really great. So, well, guys, you heard it from Dr. Laura. CNN is horseshit. WebMD is the truth. And don't leave your kids near your grill.
That's right. And especially if your grill is inside and gas.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Laura.
Laura.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. You continue to be a great doctor and a very good sport. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.